Kids, Mr. Steve is in the back. He's waiting to bring you upstairs and has a lesson planned for you. So go and have fun. High five him, too. All right, that's awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. We're gonna open our Bibles, if you would, find one. Matthew chapter 19. That's where we were last week. We're going to move a little bit further in it. So Matthew chapter 19. We'll start in verse 16. Hi, Matthew 19, verse 16. So, someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? We'll stop right there for a minute. Probably talk the entire service about that idea. What good deed must I do to have eternal life? Now, I don't know about you, but I am a doer. I like to have something to do, right? I like to be busy. The last two Saturdays, while nice, have kind of been a little stressful because what do we do, right? You can't really drive. The weather's bad. I've done all my grocery shopping on the Friday before when I'm like fighting people for the last gallon of milk or the last loaf of bread. Okay, and apparently beans, right? That was a news story. Like, it was like they showed the bread aisle and the milk aisle and then the bean aisle, and they were all empty. I guess they were people making chili, right? By the way, if you don't like chili, you can still come to the annual meeting because I like chili, but it does not like me. And so I will be making a soup along with the chili, okay? I got to make the chili. It's like teasing myself, like, oh, you look so delicious. I can't have you. So you still come, right? You can still come. If you can find beans in the store, I don't know. All right, maybe they'll ship them in from somewhere. Okay. But I do. I like to be busy. I like to do something. And I'm always looking for that thing to do to accomplish a task, especially at work. Like, I'll make a list of things that I want to do at the end of the day. Like, all right, what do I want to do tomorrow? And it'll be this, 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 this. And then in the morning, I'll sit down and I'll be like, all right, is this really all I need to do to accomplish what I need to get done, to accomplish a goal, or do I need to add something to it? Okay. This man comes up to Jesus and says, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And then Jesus' reply, why ask me about what is good? All right, he doesn't talk about the do part. He focuses on the word good, which I think is really kind of interesting. Then he goes on to say, there's only one who is good. Okay? He said, there's only one who is good. But to answer your question, okay, so he was going to answer, but he said, there's only one who is good. Okay, and so here's my impression. Here's my take on this guy's question. And maybe this is just me. What do I need to do that's better than the other guy to get into heaven? Right? What would be the good thing to do? Not the average thing to do, not the bell curve 50% median. Right? I want to be on the other side of it. What's that good thing that I need to do to earn my way into heaven? Right? I want to compare. I need to know relative to this person over here, what do I need to do that's good? And Jesus is like, no, 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 there's only one who's good. See, in our mind, when we do this human thing, it's like we compare, right? How do I just get to be better than the other person, right? You don't have to outrun the bear, you have to outrun the person behind you. And that's our take on things. It's not necessarily the deed, it's the quality. And we rank that. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. There is no ranking because there's only one good. And everything that you might do is filthy rags compared to that good. Like, there is no comparison. There's God, and then there's you. And there's nothing good that you will do in comparison to the good that God is. But then he goes on, he says, all right, let me answer your question though. And he says, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Right? Really simple. Keep the commandments. This is a child of Israel, grew up in the synagogues. He knows the commandments. He was taught them. And then our friend here does stuff that we do and asks, which one? Which one commandment? Which one thing do I need to do? Right? Jesus says, keep the commandments. Which one? Right? I think if I could have seen this play out, I just imagined like Jesus doing a double take, like keep the commandments, and then he turns, which one? Like, that's like sass mouth. That's like talking back. In my mind, that's like, well, which one do I need to keep? You know, you can just hear the tone in that. The audacity, which one? But we do the same thing. And we do the same thing. Well, I'm nice to these people, but not nice to these people. It's okay, because I've done this one thing over here, but the rest of my life is in shambles, but I'm doing this one thing, so that's good. Which one? The man asked. And so Jesus replied. He says, you must not murder. Okay, check that one off my list. You must not commit adultery. Okay. You must not steal. Fine. You must not falsely testify. Okay. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. There, those. Okay. So, our friend says, I've obeyed all these commandments. I pat myself on the back. I've done all those good things. That's easy. and then this is where I think I would differ. Well, at least I would hope I would differ. I wish we would read in here, okay, Lord, thank you. That's all I want to hear, right? But that's not what this guy says. He's like, I've done all those things. What else? Can you hear the bravado in his voice? Well, I've done that. What else you got for me, Jesus? That's easy stuff. What else? Bring it on. I've got this. What else must I do? It's kind of a dangerous question to ask, right? What else must I do? But I kind of see where he's coming from. If you go back to Psalm chapter 11, verse 7, okay, well, let me read that really quick. Let me pull that up. Psalm chapter 11, verse 7. The Lord is righteous and loves good deeds. Those who do them will live in his presence. So this is something that David said. This is something that this guy would know. So this idea of good deeds is probably not too far out of the realm of reality. Here is someone who has grown up with that. So it's probably kind of a serious question. And so Jesus answers him. Okay. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. It seems like Jesus stepped it up a notch. Right? Right? I can get the do not murder. I get the do not steal, but I worked for all this stuff. Like, there was effort that went into saving all this money, and now you just want me to go and sell it all and give it away? That's crazy. You want me to give it to the poor and then leave all of this stuff behind and follow you? That's what Jesus is asking. That's what he says. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. And so when you read like online sermon notes and you read commentary, a lot of this is about like this is the giving sermon, right? Get out your checkbooks, friends, because you shouldn't have money, so you should give it to us. That's not really what this is about. What I like to read into that section is you know what? You're never really done. That's what I read into that. You've got do not murder, do not steal, no adultery, honor your parents, love your neighbor. And this guy says, I've done all those things. What else? No, you're never done. You are never done. It's not just about a checklist. It's not about having some list on your refrigerator that daily you have to check off. And if I do that check off, then it's off my refrigerator. I don't have to worry about it anymore. That was me. That was weird. Okay. He says, go and sell your possessions. Give the money to the poor and then follow me. It's an all-in. I think that's what Jesus is saying. It's an all-in. That's what the commandments are. That's what love your neighbor as yourself, in my mind, means. It's an all-in. It's an everyday. And the young man heard this and he went away sad, for he had many possessions, because he didn't get it. He didn't get that all-in. Then I started thinking, well, what is that thing for me? What is that thing for you? Right, this guy had many possessions. He didn't want to sell them all. He was sad. He worked for them. But God yet said, sell it all, give it all away, come and follow me. What is that thing that holds you back? Because I think we all have something. I think we all can look at our lives and say, I'm all right here, 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 here. I'm not a bad person here, 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 here. But what is that thing that holds you back? And I can't answer it for you. You have to answer it. But it's a question I think we need to ask. Because honestly, we're no different than this young man, this rich young man. So what is that thing? There's always something. And then, verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? That's the question, right? Then who in the world can be saved? If it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, I can't put the thread through an eye of a needle. Okay, I'll just use tape to hold things together. I'm not going to sew it. It's too hard. Okay. Or they have that little tool that little metal clip you push through the eye of the needle, and then you put your thread in, you know what I mean? And then you pull it back out and that threads your needle for you, right? There's a tool for that. Right? And yet it's still hard. And the disciples are like, what you're telling us is crazy. Who on earth could he ever be saved then? Right? And that's really the question. If I can't work my way in, if I can't check off a list, if there's not some set of things that we're all supposed to do, then who can be saved? That's what his disciples asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible." That's kind of the climax of our story. That's the point of the story. Yeah, you've got this list, you've got these things. Here's, obey these commandments, love the Lord, love your neighbor. But at the end of the day, there's always something. There's always something that you're not willing to do. And that makes it impossible. That makes it impossible. You cannot earn your way into heaven. Because all of what we do, filthy rags. Even the best of our work, filthy rags. They don't earn you anything. There's only one way, and that's by God. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible for him. And so he made a way. Right? Christ, suffering, death, resurrection, that took away my filthy rags. Not me. He took off my filthy rags and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. That's the impossible. Not me, not you, not a list. Has nothing to do with doing. And that's where our rich young friends kind of got it wrong. What do I need to do to earn? There is no doing to earn. There's simply an accepting of the gift. There's an understanding that by my strength, impossible. By God's strength, possible. That's the key. We can go and look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews 13, 16. We can read, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Just because there's no way to earn our way into heaven doesn't mean we just kind of throw it all away and do what we want. It's not how this works. We're still called to do good deeds. We're still called to honor God through our actions. But it's not buying us anything. It's not payment for a reward, because our payment is not adequate. Rather, it's a sacrifice. It's a way of honoring God for the things that he has done in our lives. We then go and do good. We accept his salvation. And in that receiving of the gift, hearts are changed. We choose to do good. Not for our own reward, but to honor the one who gave us life. It's that sacrifice. It's that offering to God. It's not that payment. But for people, for me, it's hard to remember that. Because I do like my checklists, right? The honey-do lists, right? They even sell like notepads that you stick to your fridge and write down your chores for the day. These are the things that need to get done. But when it comes to our salvation, there is no checklist. There is no do. There is no list. There is no perfect one thing. Because at the end of the day, it's simply never enough. At the end of the day, it's simply not good enough. At the end of the day, we need the impossible done in our lives. And just by definition, the impossible is something we can't do. But supernaturally, God can do anything. And he did. He sent his son to die for us. And wraps us in a robe of righteousness. And out of that gratitude springs forth these good deeds so that we can honor him. So that we can give that offering, give that sacrifice, and show our love. So reading through this section, reading through this Matthew chapter 19, remember verse 26. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Take that message home today. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the opportunity to open your word and to hear your voice. Lord, throughout our days, as we get busy and we start thinking of the things we need to do, Father, help us to remember that it's not about what we do that earns us salvation, that earns us eternal life. It's not doing.
I keep fighting voices.
Remember this, and as we read your scriptures, remind us of that great gift and create in us a grateful heart so that, Lord, we can follow your commands. Not to earn anything, Lord, but to demonstrate gratitude, to show our love for you. And we thank you for this time. As we go from this place, Lord, keep us safe, keep us warm. Pray for those who couldn't be here today, Lord. Father, for all your good gifts, we give you thanks and praise. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, folks. It's 11:30. It's cold outside. Grab a cup of coffee, visit for a few minutes, and have a safe drive home.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say